KTRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Happy Friday, North County. You have Kenny Enny solo today. I am going to be by myself here for the first 30 minutes to ramble on about various things, including current candidate lists, upcoming elections, my beef with Rob Bonta and the Prop 39. And then probably get into some of the reasons why I think the school boards and control of school boards is going to be increasingly critical. Then at the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to have Jennifer Greninger from Templeton Unified School District and Randy Kwiatkowski from the San Miguel. I think it's a joint unified school. No, I guess it's just a unified school district. But anyways, they're both going to be showing up, and we're going to discuss all things school related for our three school districts. We invited Atascadero Rebecca Kuznick, but she's off hobnobbing with, I think she's going to run for state office or something. I'm being funny, but she's off hobnobbing, I think with the Heritage Foundation or something like that. So here we go. I wanted to start out, everybody's been talking in the morning about what the current candidate lists are, and for those that don't know, you can go online to slocounty.gov and pull up the current list, and they're usually updated on Friday, although today what I have is still out of date. But you can see for the county seats and the school boards as well, the various people that have signed up or registered to vote. And so right now we've got multiple people that look like they're going to be running in the Lucia Marr School District. And for those that don't remember, that's kind of become a battleground area for the culture wars in South County. Colleen Martin, Comrade Colleen, as I affectionately call her, since she gave me my call sign, the Disruptor. Comrade Colleen is obviously running. I think she's been on the board for over 200 years now. Then you've got somebody by the name of David Warren, an attorney educator. He's signed up. And then you've got Donna Candle. And then in San Luis Coastal Unified, you've got a couple of folks. I don't know who any of these people are. Here in North County, Jennifer Greninger is the only one that's showing up. I take that back. Shandon, Joint Unified School District, has got Maria Elena Garcia. I think I know her. We'll probably need to call her in. And then, as I mentioned, Templeton's got Jennifer Greninger, and then Cayucas out on the coast, somebody named Carrie Friend. I know here in Paso, we've got a couple people whose names should be showing up this afternoon, if not next week. But I'm excited to publicly announce, even before he's publicly announced, that Tom Apkarian, who was the former superintendent of the Pleasant Valley Joint Unified School District out in Pleasant Valley area, and also superintendent of Shandon, he's going to be running in Area 1 for Jim Cogan's seat. I don't know what Cogan's doing. I suspect he's going to run again. But that's going to be a pretty easy campaign to tell the difference, because you're going to have Tom Apkarian, who's the education professional who knows the difference between a boy and a girl, doesn't believe that you can click your heels three times and become a unicorn or anything like that, doesn't think boys should be on girls' teams or in girls' locker rooms. And then you have Jim Cogan, who thinks you should have boys and girls locker rooms and girls should just put up with it. In Area 2, which is Joel Peterson's area for Paso Robles, Joel Peterson is not going to run And right now, I believe there are probably going to be at least two very good candidates looking at running in that area. And then you have Area 4, which is Sandra Williams' area. And Area 4, at this point, I don't know of anyone that's thrown their hat in the ring for that. So those are the three Paso Robles seats that are up. Hopefully, Randy Kwiatkowski will tell us about the San Miguel School Board, and then Jennifer will tell us about Templeton. I'll get back to school board issues. I know you guys are excited about that, but I really wanted to talk a little bit about some of the ballot measures. And I think you're going to hear over and over again from people on the air for the next, until, 100 days or so until November. There are a lot of ballot measures that people need to be paying attention to. And especially after you have shenanigans like what Rob Bont is trying to pull off, where they've changed the title and the description of Prop 39, which is going to be the ballot measure that requires voter ID. Now, this happened last week. There is a lawsuit that has been filed against Bonta, and all I know is that it's been filed. I don't know whether it would be heard fast enough to impact the November election. But if you again go to my second favorite after the Cal Coast News, my second favorite California paper, the California Globe, there was an article last week on the 21st, and it goes into detail how Bonta has, in the eyes of many people, violated his responsibilities as the Attorney General. And it states, California law explicitly states that in providing the ballot title and summary, the Attorney General is required to give a true and impartial statement of the purpose of the measure in such language that the ballot title and summary is neither an argument nor likely to create prejudice for or against the proposed measure. The Attorney General is required to invite and consider public comment in preparing each ballot title and summary. So the original approved language, which had been out for over a year, stated, establishes additional voter identification and citizenship verification requirements, initiative constitutional amendment. That was the original. What they changed it to is prohibits citizens from voting unless they present government-issued identification, initiative constitutional amendment. So, you have some people like David Tangipa. I think he's in Fresno. I know he's friends with Mike Harvey. But the bottom line for a lot of the people on our side is basically they're accusing Bonta of trying to rig the election. So that's something that we're going to have to watch. I think that Prop 39 is probably the most significant ballot measure that we're going to have to vote on. And so no matter what it says, prohibits citizens from voting, or whether it says establishes additional voter identification and citizenship verification requirements, this is something that we should all want to pass, and we really need to have pass if we're going to try to save this state. It's not going to be the silver bullet that saves the state, but it's definitely a step in the right direction. Some of the other ballot measures that I've been really following is I'm really concerned a lot about the ballot measures and all the focus on affordable housing. Now, one would think, having studied economics, having minored in economics in my undergrad, when you pour more money at a problem, you generally increase the price of that product. You can see it everywhere in the United States where the government's gotten involved, whether it's education, where in the 1990s, the federal government gave easy money to people to go to college. What was the result? The price of education went up. Same thing has happened in the medical field. It happened, it led directly to the housing bubble in the 2008 timeframe. And I'm looking at a couple of the ballot measures here, the propositions here in California, And Proposition 1 authorizes $11.25 billion in bonds for veterans and affordable housing programs. The other one that was looking at providing monies for housing was Proposition 37, which is, it offers up to $25 billion in bonds in order to create loans, second mortgage programs. In my opinion, all this is going to do is probably drive up the price of housing because people know that there's money showing up and they can tap into it if you're the seller. I got a call. Go ahead, caller. You're on the line.
Oh, yes. Hi. I was curious. You have been announcing something about a contractor's celebration here in Paso Robles. Is that today?
I don't know when that is, but you'll have to call the front office. I forgot. Oh. I heard the commercial as well, and it's the...
The tile
company, and it's it's across from, I know it's across from Source One. I don't know what day it is though.
Okay.
But maybe somebody can text in and I will announce it, as the show goes on.
Okay. And the front office, just find that online somewhere.
Yeah.
Phone number?
Front office. I think it's, 1230.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
I had a second call, but it just dropped off. So anyways, when you look at basic economics and you're going to pour more money into a problem, I think all it's going to do is inflate the price of housing. And what we should be looking at, in my opinion, in this state is how do you reduce... The inflated cost of that house, you know, how much do we have to spend for extra unnecessary regulations and things like that? Those are the things that need to be cut, and our politicians aren't talking about that. They're just talking about throwing more money at the problem, which is, in my opinion, gonna do nothing more than inflate the price. All right. So for the lady that wanted to know where the event is, it's Paso Tile and Stone, and it is, well, I just lost it. It was on Paso Robles Street across from Source One, and it doesn't say when it is. So there you go. That's teamwork. The community helped me get through that one. Let's get back to looking at some of the propositions. All right, so you got Proposition 2. Increases the budget stabilization account. You've got Proposition 3 initiative makes permanent existing high income rates that fund K-12 and community colleges applies to higher income. So this is another tax. Proposition 4 authorizes public financing of state and local election campaigns. Proposition 5 eliminates the immediate successor election in a state officer recall. I'm going to have to pull some of the Carl DeMaio stuff on this. He's got if you go to his Reform California site, he's got a spreadsheet where he argues for or against each one of these things. Of course, then we got Prop 39, which I've already discussed. You've got Prop 40, which imposes a one-time tax of up to 5% on individuals' trusts with covered assets over $1 billion. Now, I was looking, that's, you know, the otherwise known as the billionaire's tax, and I was looking at odds online. I forgot what the odd site, you know, where the betting site is. But right now that's losing, and it's losing pretty badly. And if you look at Prop 39, voter ID, it's actually winning, and it's winning pretty soundly. All right, we got an update on the Paso Tile event today, 4 p.m. Music starts. So there you go. Going back to ballot initiatives. Looking at in more detail at Prop 39, I, as I said earlier, I'm not sure it's a a silver bullet. And I still have a lot of concerns and questions, but I definitely think it's a step in the right direction. And I especially think it's a step in the right direction if we can't get U.S. Congress and the, to include mostly the Senate to pass the SAVE Act. But what Prop 39 calls for is formal voter identification, citizenship verification, and registered voter list. It aims to add stricter identification requirements for voting and enhance voter roll maintenance citizenship checks in California. And so what it proposes, if passed, is it would require a government-issued ID for in-person voting, and they must present a government-issued ID, driver's license, state ID, passport, each time they vote in person. All right, so that raises the question right there is, you know, as we move and look at doing more and more stuff online, or as we do more and more stuff through mail-in ballots, how are they going to verify that with mail-in ballots? I've heard the last four of your Social Security number will be required. But that's a question that I really haven't gotten a warm and fuzzy on. Enforcement, it would be binding on state and local election officials at the polls. Ballot processing, election officials must verify the presented ID before counting regular or provisional ballots. The state would handle issuing free voter ID cards, creating an administrative system for requests. The secretary of the state and county officials would be required to perform ongoing list maintenance, citizenship verification efforts using available government databases and annual compliance reporting. Of course, I think a lot of that is required now and it's not being done. But again, it's one of those things, it's not an issue of, you know, wanting this to pass. It really is an issue that we need it to pass at this point. You look at all the efforts the federal government, the Trump administration, is undertaking in order to try to clean up the rolls and really put more faith and confidence back into the election system. They've got to start holding some of these states accountable, particularly California. Everybody's heard over the last couple of weeks the reports out of New Jersey. I read an article yesterday that even though it was reported that there were about 6,000 illegal aliens that had been registered to vote, many people think the number is more in the neighborhood of about 50,000 people. And if that's the case, you know, you look at California, you know, we are the poster child for corrupt elections. So if they have 50,000, I would bet we have hundreds of thousands, maybe 10 times as many. So let's see, what else do we have on the elections and ballot measures? We'll be getting back to that in the next couple of weeks. I know Darsha will definitely want to be covering a lot of the election integrity issues, as we all know. I didn't really mention where she is. Honestly, I'm not allowed to tell you. She swore me to secrecy, but she is not in the country. And I don't know if she's on a secret mission for New California or what, but we shall see. So let's move on. I want to start getting into and prepping in the last few minutes before the 1 o'clock hour. I want to talk a little bit about the Democrat Socialists of America and some of the issues that we're having with them and the emergence of the Democrat Socialists of America. And why they seem to be so focused on education. You know, this is nothing new. It's almost counterintuitive that you would expect, if you want to take over a country, what you should be focused on is the next generation. So since their inception, really since the Communist Manifesto back in the 1800s, communists and socialists have focused on controlling education. Because that was the central instrument, in their opinion, of class power. Okay, so they saw it as where you taught the next generation. All right, so I'll get back to that in a minute. We'll finish that up and then look forward to having Randy and Jennifer come on.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations. On El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Lint Patrol specializes in dryer vent cleaning. You can trust Dylan with Lint Patrol to keep your vents clean and safe, and this helps your dryer run more efficiently and reduces the risk of a house fire. Dylan has over 6 years of appliance preventative maintenance experience and is knowledgeable in all things appliance care. This is an affordable, simple way to help protect your home. Contact Dylan today at 805-975-5176 or visit lintpatrolca.com. What should you look for when choosing an insurance agent? Experience is a key quality. A good agent responds promptly. It gives you clear explanations, letting you know exactly all the details of your policy. And a good agent has good listening skills, and a good agent takes the time to understand your unique situation. A good agent, like Kevin Hunt Insurance, 105 South Main Street in Templeton. Call 805-434-3276.
Hey, get in here. They're about to kick off.
I'm coming.
Boy, this streaming isn't very good. What kind of internet you got?
Satellite. This happens all the time. I'll go up on the roof and fix it. Hold my beer.
You think that's a good idea?
I got this.
Okay, so that's a bad idea. But if you live in a rural area and your internet connection isn't what it should be, it's a good idea to get Ranch Wi-Fi. Ranch Wi-Fi delivers big city speeds with small town customer service. Let Ranch Wi-Fi deliver fiber optic connections wirelessly that'll get you connected and keep you connected so you can stay in the game with the internet speed you need. They also have no data limits and no contracts, so you don't have to suffer with DSL or satellite. Ranch Wi-Fi delivers big city speeds with hometown customer service for the entire Central Coast, especially in rural areas. Get connected fast.
Call Ranch Wi-Fi 805-995-4181 or visit ranchwifi.com. Ranch Wi-Fi, delivering big city speeds to the Central Coast.
Okay, I'm back. Let me see if I can get through this and kind of use this as an introduction for the hour that we're going to have with Jennifer and Randy. So I was talking about why do communists and socialists focus their efforts on education? Why did the Democrat Socialists of America, why have they been focused and encouraging individuals to go into teaching? Because it's where you're going to capture the minds of the next generation. You know, it's in the eyes of many leftists, schools and education are a battlefield. They want to capture that mind. They want to shut out any competitive thought. This is where they're going to seed their ideological ideas in the minds of the young people. And this is nothing new. This is, you know, Marx and Engels argued in the Communist Manifesto that education under capitalism was there to serve the ruling class. Their argument was that the ruling class created schools, one to reinforce that society and the needs of that society. You've seen that same argument made in the United States. they wrote that the bourgeois schools use, or the bourgeoisie used schools and social conditions to shape the young, and then the communists did not invent society's intervention in education, that it was really just a reaction to the ruling class and the bourgeoisie. Those ideas were refined more and more during the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia in 1917. And so then finally by the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, you had the Italian Antonio Gramsci, who really is kind of the father of a lot of the culture war, DEI stuff that we've had to deal with for the last 10 years. And he focused more on the concept of cultural hegemony. And his argument was that ruling classes maintain power not only through force, but by making their worldview appear as common sense through civil society institutions, including schools. And so think about that comment right there, and I'll read it again. The ruling classes maintain power not only through force, but by making their worldview appear as common sense through civil society institutions, including schools. So if you look at everything that's under attack in our society, all the pillars of society, whether it's the church, whether it's our history, our founding, my argument is this is all really by design. And this is by design to undermine the confidence and the belief that the next generation is going to have in this country. Now, again, I've said many times, if you have a generation that has been taught in school to not like its country, and you're a peer adversary of the United States and decide that you're going to go to war militarily against the United States, that active duty military is only going to last so long. And if you do not have the backup in the form of a supporting population, I can make that argument right now with Iran. If you don't have the support of the population, no matter how successful you may be early on, all that enemy has to do is wait you out. In many cases, that's what's happening now, I would argue. But anyways, first, what Gramsci went on to argue is that for a successful socialist transformation, the working class and its intellectuals had to contest and win hegemony in cultural domains. And so they had to exclude religion. They had to teach you things like, you know, the nuclear family is a form of despotism. They had to teach you that gender is fluid. They had to teach you that you could put on a cat costume and be a kitty cat if you want. All these things serve to basically destroy the confidence and the support of that society. Once you destroy it, you can rebuild it the way you want. So when you look at probably China would be the best example. Maybe if you looked at Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia in the 1970s, it would be another good example. But once communist regimes took over, education was where a lot of those revolutions took place. You look at the Cultural Revolution of the 1960s. In China, it emerged from the schools. It emerged from the secondary schools and the universities, and that's where they trained, you know, for lack of a better term, their Red Guard to go out and find the olds and destroy them, the olds being religion, family, culture, and replace them with their new stuff. So that's kind of an introduction for what we're going to try to talk about this afternoon. We'll be back in about 7 or 8 minutes. We'll have Jennifer Greninger and Randy Kwiatkowski. We're going to talk a lot about local education, but that kind of intro, I want you to keep it in the back of your mind why it's important to participate in school boards, because this is your front line to defend what your kids are going to, and grandkids are going to be taught. All right, back in a minute.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.